Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the day. Today is the day that we were supposed to gather in celebration, have friends and family over for a feast, celebrate our deliverance. You know, not so different than the disciples 2,000 years ago. I've often thought this may be one of the most biblical Easters there ever was, because their Easter was spent huddled in a upper room together. They didn't even go out for 50 more days except for food. But you know, again, not so different than just 2,000 years ago. You see, just the week before, Jesus had entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, just before the festival of the Passover. Could the disciples have been thinking, this is it? This is our turn. No more fear of those leaders. Now we are in control. Imagine their confusion as Jesus begins to talk of his death, and as the realization that their Passover celebration turns into the Last Supper. As less than a week later, the triumphant entry into the gates of the city turns into a march outside the gates to Golgotha and crucifixion. In the wee hours of the morning, huddled in the upper room, terrified of what might become of them, a dream celebration of family and filled streets and jubilation becomes a nightmare. Now, two women go to the grave to do their duty, to make sure the body is properly clothed, dressed, and ready for its final resting place. Bearing their funeral preparations and wearing their mourning attire, they approach, only to discover an empty tomb. I thought of the families of those we have lost in the last few weeks, some quite dear to us. Funeral preparations must be made, but often they have no idea where the bodies of their loved ones are. The cry of Mary is not unlike their cries today. They have taken away my beloved, and I do not know where they have laid them. It is times like these that we can think that death has the final say, that Satan has the upper hand, that sorrow is the only response to such defeat, that love is defeated, and that God is truly dead. Think back to that morning 2,000 years ago. Those attending the funeral, those coming to attend to the body of Jesus, it was, after all, a funeral preparation. They had no time the night he died. It was hastily done. So now they go in mourning, for they were coming to a funeral, mourning a criminal in the eyes of the government. They were trying to dress Jesus, make him presentable for his tomb, in fresh linen and oils, because they had to bury him so hastily on that Friday. They were going there to put on the wrappings or the suit of fine linen, not unlike our funeral or casket suits today. The cloth and the oils and the perfumes that Jesus, with the exception of Mary's anointing hadn't had in his lifetime among us. There they were. They were crying out to the emptiness, "Where have they taken my Lord?" They didn't just kill a man, they killed my Lord. But a voice breaks through. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. At that moment, Mary, expecting to attend a funeral in mourning, instead ran to tell of the glorious resurrection in joy and celebration. And while the disciples were very much still stuck on Good Friday and the emptiness of Saturday, Mary experienced the resurrected Christ. Mary's mourning dress became, in that moment, her new Easter clothes. You know, my dear grandmother, like many who grew up in the Great Depression, saved everything. As her children became successful, they would often buy her expensive gifts, things that she had mentioned she had always wanted: fine crystal and china, beautiful dishes and linens. She would carefully unwrap the presents, folding the paper to use it again. She would open the box, squeal with delight, then carefully close the box and put it up for good. So afraid that she might break or lose this new gift, she put it up in a closet to bring out for good or really special occasions. I think she must have been waiting to dine with the Queen of England, because we never saw her use any of these things. When she passed away and we cleaned out her house, we found dozens and dozens of boxes, many going back decades, never opened except for that first time, always waiting for good, for just the right special occasion to bring them out to the light of day and enjoy them. They might as well have been lost or broken, for she never got to enjoy them in her lifetime. She was always waiting for that special day, stuck thinking that today was just not the right time, that she was not worthy of the beautiful things all by herself, not willing to celebrate the gift that is today and the specialness of our own company. So I ask you, are you stuck? Are we stuck? Are we stuck in our homes? Are we stuck on Good Friday? Are you perhaps lost on Holy Saturday, waiting still for something happening? Are you still in your mourning, your funeral clothes? Are you waiting to bring out our best for good, for the special occasions? Are we waiting for the world to say it's okay? It's appropriate to now wear our Easter clothes, our outfits of celebration? Are you afraid to bring out your resurrection suits and dresses for fear of enjoying the everlasting life Jesus has to offer here and now, not some distant event far away. One of my favorite theologians and authors, Rob Bell, says, to say it again, eternal life is less about the kind of time we start when we die and more about a quality and vitality of life now in connection to God. Eternal life doesn't start when we die. It starts now. It's not about a life that begins at death. It's about experiencing the kind of life now that can endure and survive even death. Not too long ago, I saw a woman in a congregation on television. It was some news story, some story about some common thing that could have been anywhere. I actually have no recollection what this story was about because it wasn't the story that struck me. What I do remember was that in this common picture of a common Sunday service, there was this woman among the common crowd clapping her hands to a common song. In an everyday setting, her and everyone around her wearing their everyday clothes except one thing. This woman was sporting a sparkly rhinestone sweater with sequins and a big black feather boa. I can imagine her waking up that morning, having gotten completely dressed for church, looking in the mirror and thinking, there's just one more thing needed to make this outfit complete. And if she heard that little voice inside her head saying, sparkles and feather boas are only for Mardi Gras and formal occasions and for balls and parties and certainly not for church, if she heard that voice, she ignored it. It was Sunday, time to celebrate, feather boa and all. Never mind that someone might think it wasn't proper church attire. It was her celebration clothes. She knew one thing, and you saw it on her face, that we don't have to wait till we're dead, and we don't even have to wait till Easter to put on our Easter clothes. So look around at those gathered here online. Look in the mirror if you dare. What do you see? Did you roll out of bed in your pajamas or did you dress up? You know, I did something I haven't done in almost a decade. New church, new pastor, about a week before lockdown, I ordered an Easter dress. It came 2 days after we had to shut everything down. So I almost didn't wear it today, you know, because I'm in my house and in my kitchen. But I decided to put it on, and I'm so glad I did. I may or may not be wearing house slippers with it, but today we celebrate for more than one reason. Who would care what we're wearing? What? Who would see? And of course, will it still fit? I was worried about that after sitting around these last 3 weeks. But I'm here to tell you, doesn't matter. Whether you rolled out of bed and turned on the computer in your funny PJs with the feet on them, whether you entered into this space in your newest, brightest, and best attire, whether in your despair you still have your mourning clothes of Good Friday on, doesn't matter. You see, because Christ is risen. Put off your sackcloth and your mourning dress. Declare that right where you are, as you are, how however you are dressed. You are Easter people. And even those weird PJs and sweatpants, by the renewal of your heart, are your Easter clothes. Jesus is alive. Celebrate today and every day. Death is defeated. Put on your dancing shoes, your party clothes, and your sparkles, or just your purple sweatpants, and celebrate. The devil has no victory. Sing and dance and make the neighbors wonder what in the world is going on. The wondrous love of God conquers all. Love wins. God wins. Rob Bell writes again, if we want hell, if we want heaven, they're ours. That's how love works. It can't be forced, manipulated, or coerced. It always leaves room for the other to decide. God says yes. We can have what we want because love wins. You know, there's a saying that New Orleans was the first to put fun into funeral. If you saw our video when we opened, you know what I mean, because that is the quintessential New Orleans funeral. But you know what? I beg to differ. New Orleans wasn't the first one to put the fun in funeral. Jesus did. That first Easter morning. So put on your sparkles and declare the wonder and might of God, conquering death once and for all. Today, we declare that wherever we are, whatever we are wearing, and whatever we are doing, today is our day, and we have on our Easter clothes. Amen.